time came and went, like the times that we spent.
Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
I laugh and she smiles. It would last for a while. You don't know.
Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. It's our Easter special. It's time to get to our next guest, Scott McIntyre, recording artist, American Idol finalist. You know him. I mean, he captivated the nation as a finalist on American Idol. He's toured in arenas across North America, headlined concerts in Japan, Austria, England, Canada, United States of America. He's performed with many notable acts, including Alice Cooper, Jason Mraz, which we spoke about earlier today, Queen. In his book, By Faith, Not By Sight, he powerfully demonstrates that no obstacle is too great to overcome. As the first blind finalist on American Idol, McIntyre was called an inspiration to the entire world. Guy just had a huge impact on so many people on that show. They still talk about him today. On the phone, all the way from, actually, I think he might be in Canada at this point. Scott, where are you right now?
I'm in America.
Oh, okay, America.
I'm in Nashville.
Okay. So
how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. That's your base these days, right? You landed at the 615 where everyone sings their way to heaven?
I sure did. And love Canada. I actually lived in Toronto for 4 years growing up.
Yeah.
And my management's up there. I love your country, so I'm looking forward to coming back up soon.
But here's the thing, man. I don't normally talk to people who move away from Toronto to warmer locations because I don't like you. Especially after this winter.
Yeah, I didn't really mention that part before you had me on here, yeah.
Not cool at all, man. So listen, releasing an album this year, I understand?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's been a really exciting time for me. We finished up touring last year all the way through New Year's. I had my couple last shows right before New Year's, and then I've just been in Nashville here working hard on the new album and been able to work with some really cool producers. I've been working with Kyle Lee. He does a lot of stuff for Michael W. Smith, and with another guy, Matt Bronlewy from Jars of Clay. And then I'm producing a little bit on the album, so it's a really, really exciting project for me.
Very cool. And tell me about the Transplant Games of America.
You know, we came across a really, really awesome opportunity this year. I'm going to be hosting and performing at the Transplant Games of America. And this is, I like to think of it kind of like the Olympics or the Paralympics, you know, that category of event. And basically, people who have had transplants, who have been in that process of organ donation, organ, eye, and tissue donation, they come to the Transplant Games from all over, and they compete in various events. And so it's a very inspirational event, and I'm very blessed to be emceeing it this year.
Both you and your sister had kidney transplants.
We did, yeah. You know, I never talked about it on American Idol. I talked about my blindness a little bit, and because that was so obvious in my life, but what people didn't know at that time was that I had had a kidney transplant at a young age. I actually found out I had kidney failure, stage 4 kidney failure, actually, at 19 years old. And I hung on for a little bit. I ended up on emergency dialysis and could not travel, could not perform, just felt like my dreams were dying in front of me, you know, and I really believed with my whole heart that God had put me here to share my gifts and talents with other people. And so when I couldn't do that, even in my own home, it was pretty devastating to me. But then the wife of my former piano teacher from college decided she was going to donate her kidney to me, and she saved my life.
That's crazy, man.
Just no words to say thank you. And then when I was on American Idol, my sister, as you said, ended up going through kidney failure as well. So it's definitely something hereditary, but we haven't figured out what.
Okay, your sister and you are both, I hesitate using the word blind because, you know, being blind, when you say Scott McIntyre's blind, you know, most people go, oh, he can see nothing. And you pretty much can see nothing. You just have this sort of very tiny little sort of speck in front of you that you can see straight out in front of you, correct? Peripheral, there's nothing.
Right, no peripheral vision, and okay. It's literally like if you took a piece of paper and poked a little pinhole through it, that would be my viewfinder to the world. And so a lot of people who are legally blind can still drive a car or still, you know, because that definition kind of includes a lot of different visual impairments.
What's your sister? What's her blindness like?
Sure, hers is we're both almost completely blind, but hers is a little more blurred, and she has a little bit wider of a field. So that definition, legally blind, that people use sometimes kind of encapsulates a lot of different, you know, versions, more or less blind. And so I'm pretty much blind. I wouldn't know what your face looked like. Or,
well, that's better. You know. That's just better that way.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just keep it like that. You know, maybe in heaven I'll get a little preview. Yeah.
Your sister and you, are you birth siblings?
You mean blind from birth?
No, what I mean is, are you sort of genetically related? Was there adoption? Any adoption stuff going on here?
No adoption stuff. So we are genetic siblings. My brother Todd is...
That's where I wanted to go. Is he blind? Does he have any vision issues?
He is normally sighted, and he actually he was on the show a couple times helping me out, and
right.
no kidney issues either. So it's definitely quite a mystery. But I describe it this way to people sometimes. If you picture the mouse cursor on your computer screen, you know, when you're using the laptop or the computer or whatever, that's basically the size of my vision. So if I find the mouse, as soon as I move the mouse, it's gone, and I have to start over. So it's that small. It's a little pinhole.
Is there a correlation between you and your sister being blind, and you and your sister needing to go through dialysis and the whole kidney thing?
That's what I've been wondering the entire time. And you know, at this point, we don't have any answers. We've finally run into one doctor when my sister went through it, who had a little bit of experience in the past with someone who was blind from birth and then had kidney failure in the second decade of life. So that seems to be the pattern, but it's one of these things where it's like a 1 in 10 million occurrence. And the fact that it happened twice in our family and there's no history of it in the family tree, there's no genetic stuff we can point to, it's very strange. So they actually sent her blood work over to Germany for some, you know, expensive DNA mapping. It was inconclusive. We've done all kinds of stuff, and at this point we do not know. So at a certain point you just start making the decision to live, even if you don't have all the answers, you know.
Scott McIntyre on the phone with us. You are known as the American Idol season 8 blind guy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I don't know. That's kind of a weird shadow to live with, but I guess it helps with branding.
For sure. I'll take it, you know. I get asked a lot of questions about my blindness, obviously, and it's such an integral part of my story. And, you know, I just have to tell you, like, I've seen how God has used my blindness in such amazing ways in other people's lives. People ask me if I could choose to see, would I choose to see? And it's a hard question to answer, but every time I have said no, I would not choose to see, even if I could at this point, which I can't, but I would not choose that. I've seen the impact my blindness and what I've done in spite of it has on others' lives, and how it encourages them to reach more and to accomplish more in their own lives. And that's something that I never would have expected could have come out of this.
Well, I think the, you know, American Idol season 8 blind guy is better than the American Idol Marshall and Fulbright scholar guy. I have a question about those titles, okay? First of all, Marshall scholar, Fulbright scholar. First of all, Fulbright scholar. Is there a partially bright scholar?
There is not, to my knowledge.
No.
But
okay.
you'd have to ask them about.
All right. I just think that's a hilarious name. And then, of course, the other one, Marshall scholar. That hits dear, you know, near and dear to my heart because that's my name. So I got to ask you, which one of those? Because you've got both of those. You know, you're known as a Marshall scholar and a Fulbright scholar. Am I getting this right?
Right. You're getting this right.
Okay. Which gets you more beers?
I'd have to say the Marshall scholar probably does, but the Rhodes scholarship would have gotten me even more beers, which I did not win.
Right. You didn't? Okay. All right.
But actually, I don't even drink, so it's kind of a mute point.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate that. This is a very important question as far as I'm concerned. Like, I know you're blind, right? But do you know how hot your wife is?
You know, yes. Short answer, yes. I have ways of finding out.
I don't know. There's a part of me, I shouldn't admit this on air here, but there's a part of me that thinks, oh, okay, blind guy, so he can marry an ugly woman, because, you know, what does it matter, right?
Right, right.
Dude,
isn't it funny how that works out?
She is, okay. Anyway, so here's the deal.
You know, you've heard of blind people feeling someone's face, right? You've probably seen that in movies. So I take my time when I'm feeling her face.
I guess so, ladies and gentlemen, right there. So the year was 2003. You're in high school. The production, Music Man. And across the stage, you saw her. You had a maroon suit jacket with a copper bow tie, and I don't know whether you realize that or not. You had a mustache that made Tom Selleck look like he had just started puberty. She had a lime green dress and a white shawl. Christina. Yes. Christina was her name. And moving in was your game. Dude, how did you move in on that critter?
You know, I don't know. I think it was something about her voice from the very beginning. She always had a kind of a, you know, she's not a flirt, but she has this kind of flirtatious voice, and it's very, especially when she gets a cold or something, it becomes very sultry, you know, and it becomes lower, and I don't know, I was just very attracted to that.
As long as she doesn't sound like Joyce Myers, then that's okay.
You know, and we would hang out backstage, we did the Music Man, like you said, and it was this big community production, and we would hang out backstage before rehearsing or going on and just getting to know each other. But I don't know, there was something going on back then. We never dated until more recently, but I think we both definitely had a spark for the other. Actually, if you go to my Facebook page, it's Scott Mac Official. I just posted, I don't know if you saw that, I just posted the Throwback Thursday picture from that musical.
Yes, so yes. That's the picture I was referring to. I wasn't actually at the play. I don't remember, you know, what you were wearing. I want to bring my cohort in here. Tim, you need to understand this, because you suck at romance.
Yeah, I do.
So here's the deal. The tea sandwiches came out, then the scones, then the pastries, and normally that's where it would have ended.
Yeah.
But then a fourth course arrived.
Ooh.
A silver platter covered in rose petals with the ring box in the center.
Was it edible?
Scott, would you stop it? It's not about the food.
Everything else was edible.
Jeez. Scott then got down on one knee and begged this woman to marry. I mean, proposed. Sorry, proposed.
Begged. That's why I didn't do it right.
Did you propose as romantically as Scott McIntyre did?
No,
not at all.
But there was food involved.
Again with the food.
We had Nanaimo bars.
I thought that was a Jeopardy question for a second. What is Scott McIntyre's engagement?
Yes, there it is.
It was a scone.
Absolutely. What a smooth dude you are. Now, listen, I don't really care about the engagement as much as I just dribbled on about it. Dude, I want to know about the honeymoon. Well, I don't want to know, like, all about but the Hawaii, right? Isn't that where you went?
Yeah, we went to the beautiful island of Kauai in Hawaii. And it's just one of my favorite places on earth. And we did some fun stuff besides, you know,
what you were referring to there.
We went hiking. We went kayaking up and down a river. We went horseback riding. We had just lovely dinners every night. It was one of my favorite memories of all time.
Very cool. Very cool. I guess what I want to know is, you know, spiritually in this journey that you're on, because, you know, everyone knows you as the Jesus singer too, right? That's your shtick as well. Have you ever asked God for healing? And I don't say, please don't hear me, I didn't ask that from the, why, if you just ask God for healing, then you know, you'll be healed. Why don't you ask and believe? If you just ask and believe, you'll receive, you know. I'm not quoting scripture. I am the most spiritually incompetent human being on the planet. But I know that there are portions of the Jesus tribe, and you've probably had people even say that to you or send you emails or letters and say, just ask the Lord to heal you and he will. Yep. I just want to know if you've ever actually asked for healing.
I have. And here's what's up. You know, that when I went through kidney failure a couple years ago, it's you know, as you know, it's a big deal. You know, this is a... If you end up having to get a kidney transplant, it's not a minor surgery. So I, you know, first of all, I was trying everything that I could to not have to go through that. You know, From a practical standpoint, I saw naturopaths, homeopaths, holistic dentists, Chinese herbalists. You know, we tried everything, including traditional nephrologists, you know, kidney doctors. But we could not figure it out. No one could figure it out, and no one has to this day. And so little by little, God was taking away the logical options, you know, and he was asking me to trust him completely. I eventually reached a point where I had to trust him with my very life, right? I didn't have any alternative. It wasn't like, well, you know, maybe we can do this. It was, there were no other options. And had people praying for me, had to trust in him. But before I reached the point where I had to have the transplant, absolutely, I was mostly because of what you said, people were saying there is a tribe of Christians that, and I don't want to alienate anyone.
No, that's my job. I'll do that.
but you probably know there are people who believe that God is not going to give you pain, is not going to let you go through the death of a child, is not going to let this, that happen if he loves you. And that's probably one of the age-old questions of time. Why, right?
Yeah, sure.
why does bad stuff happen? And that's a whole different topic for another day.
Yeah.
Because we have free will and because blah, blah, blah. But which is a very interesting discussion as well. But in my case, yeah, I do remember praying that prayer. I remember thinking, just even for just a little bit, you know, because people were telling me this, if you have enough faith, then God will heal you of this.
Dude, okay, I got to interrupt you. That bugs me.
It bugs me too. And I, you know, it's such a big deal. You're going through it that for a moment I thought, you know, I mean, it's worth a try. Maybe I should, you know,
sure,
maybe
yeah.
I should ask God to. But the bottom line is, you can look so many places in Scripture that doesn't seem to be the story. God never promises that there won't be suffering. He never promises that He won't use suffering to bring us closer to Him. You just look at the story of Jesus this weekend as we're celebrating Good Friday and Easter. He suffered,
yep.
You know, and back to my point from earlier, you know, I have no doubt God could have healed me, and he can do anything he wants. He could have ended that story in a different way, and in a way he did heal me through that amazing gift from my piano teacher's wife, but he could have just, you know, miraculously healed me. Where would I be now? What would I be doing for his glory? What story would I be telling people?
Well, you wouldn't be American Idol season 8 blind guy.
I wouldn't, and it wouldn't have the impact on others' lives that it does every day now. You know, when people look at my life, I want them to know that, you know, you may have a physical challenge, you may have a emotional challenge, a spiritual challenge, but they're really all the same, you know. And if you have faith, God will lead you in overcoming those.
On the phone with Scott McIntyre, you're a pretty authentic dude. I was trying to think of the word, and you know, I watched some videos, I did my research, and read some articles, read some interviews that you've done, and I think what these people said about you is actually true. Have a listen to this, and you tell me if you think anyone's lying.
Scott is one of the most talented guys I've ever met. He is also a piano player like me. He knows a lot more about piano than I do.
He radiates just positive energy and happiness.
A great, great person inside and out.
Inspirational to everybody who's around him.
Sometimes people don't look past the Scott that they see on the TV. There's so much more to Scott.
He knows more about music than I think anybody else here.
You can't really put the third in there because it's hard to figure out what I want to do.
Scott is an ethnomusicologist. He's a Rhodes Scholar.
I've seen him, like, listen to a song and just be like, oh, well, there we go. I can play it now.
You know, because he has that ear. And we'll say, you know, Scott, give us the key of C. And he can hum it. And it's so cool.
He is a genius. And, you know, adding on his amazing musical talent, just, I'm in awe every time I hear him. It's that mandolin
ray. All right, now there's all your season 8 gang, your finalists, your posse, and they were sucking up and saying mushy stuff about you. Was it all true, Scott?
You know, I won't deny any of it, but I just have to say, you know, it kind of melts my heart every time I hear that. It just kind of, you know, brings me back to that place. And we all, it was a great experience that year with all those guys. Those, if people don't know, those are the other idols from my season. And we just had a really unique experience. You know, we all love music and we're coming together on this show. And it's awesome to hear that coming from them.
Well, I just wonder if they really knew your musical background, because this is the part that scares me right here. This is interesting. Have a listen to this, folks. I see you, I feel you, that is how I know you go on. Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show. All right, you need to know this. This is the McIntyre Family Singers. Did I get that right? Is that what y'all were called?
That's what we were called.
Listen to these harmonies, man.
I believe that the heart does go on.
Okay, so here's the thing. Your sister's voice. I don't know what it is, man, but I hope she's still singing, because I don't want to sound like I'm sucking up to you, because I'm not wired that way, and I don't know what does it matter. But she, what an amazing! How did she not get onto Idol and you did? I mean that in the nicest of ways.
You know, it's their loss. I'm just kidding. I have to say that, you know, because I'm her brother.
Yeah.
But she hasn't tried out for Idol yet. So there's still time. There's still time. But you know, she actually went to Florida on vacation one time and did the American Idol experience and won it at Disney World. So,
wow.
So I think, you know, she definitely could if she wanted to. It'd just be, you know, a question of figuring out, you know, which way to go.
And she definitely got the looks of the family.
Yeah, she got the looks.
There's definitely, oh yeah, well, thank you. I was going to tell you, she is actually, she's just finished up her undergrad in vocal performance, and she's looking at graduate schools now, so she has definitely got a great career in front of her, I'm sure.
Well, she's blind as well, and I've just got to share with you, 5 years ago this weekend, I took out black contact lenses that had me blind for a week.
Wow.
The last week of Lent, I gave up my vision, and I had an optometrist friend of mine source out these contact lenses. I put them in for the entire week, tried to do a normal week. I had speaking events. I rode my horse. I did the radio show. I just did everything like normal. And wow, what a trip that was. We documented it. It was a last-minute decision, so the video footage is kind of horrible. But anyway, it's on our site if you want to see it. You can go to drewmarshall.ca, and I think the little thing there says Drew went blind. Yeah. And but I you know, what? Just people ask me today, you know, what was that like? And, you know, would you do it again? You know, knowing you can get your sight back, sure, I'd do it again. Would I want to be blind forever? No.
Yeah. It reminds me of something. Sometimes I'll be in the kitchen with my wife Christina, and it's so sweet. She will close her eyes as, you know, we're just talking or whatever, and she's like, I'm closing my eyes so I can see how you experience the world, and that just touches my heart when she does that.
Well, it was a real trip for me. I mean, by the end of the week, I was actually a little depressed, believe it or not, and my shoulders and neck really hurt, because I'm 6'4", and I was hanging my head sort of low, because I think I was protecting my face. I was terrified of walking into stuff, you know, whacking my head off things. So anyway, it was quite an experience.
Well, and that's the other interesting thing, Drew, is that a lot of people who haven't had, you know, their sight or haven't had full sight, they definitely can be a little bit more protective like that, and a lot of people will have their head down or will do this or they'll rock back and forth. It's a lot of, I call them blind behaviors, you know?
Yeah.
But the only reason that I don't do that really is because I was told not to, you know, because I kind of knew I wanted to be a performer. I wanted to do this music thing, and that's a very visual medium. You know, the whole entertainment industry is a very visual thing, almost as much as it's about the music. And so I never knew people gestured with their hands. I never knew people looked up when they talked to each other. That was all behavior I had to learn, even the dancing on Idol. You know, it's memorizing body positions. And so it's a really just interesting kind of experiment, trying to come across, you know, socially in a sighted world as a blind person.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I broke out into Stevie Wonderhead, and I didn't even realize it. It was a little awkward. Anyway, all right, listen, last couple of questions for you here. Who was more of a mush, you know, meeting you, Paula Abdul or First Lady Laura Bush? Who sort of gushed over you more?
Oh, you know, I think Paula Abdul did, but Kara DioGuardi gushed even more than... Wow. than
Name dropper. Okay, let's
just kidding. No, she was on my season too.
Let's you're here. Let's do another one. Let's do another one. Who has a better chance of being your friend forever, Michael W. Smith or Alice Cooper?
Because
friends are friends forever, man.
I know. I got to sing that with him on a cruise with him. I got to sing Friends Are Friends Forever. I was like, it was an amazing moment, you know, because like I grew up kind of listening to that, and I don't know. I can't choose. I love Alice too, man. We've done some cool stuff together.
We've had Alice on the show before, and what I find him to be, well, he was one of my favorite guests. In 11 years, the guy is a sharp dude. He's well-read. He's a great communicator, and he's got a wicked sense of humor. He told me a great story about how he and Groucho Marx basically restored, or helped to restore, they were the main proponents behind restoring the Hollywood sign. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Very cool scenario, yeah. Let's just say that... I don't know. You lose your vocal cords. You can't sing anymore.
Yeah.
When are we going to see the food critic come out?
I thought you were going to say that. You know, let's see. Maybe next year sometime.
Okay.
We can start a food blog.
Okay. I like this because they say, you know, when you lose one sense, your other senses pick it up a notch, and maybe your taste buds are more rocking than the rest of ours.
For sure. I have thought about starting a food blog as we travel and just, you know, trying different restaurants. So we'll see. Maybe I'll get that going for you.
Well, I think that would be the best. Folks, Scott McIntyre is who we've been chatting with. You got to get his album. It's coming. When is it dropping? As the kids say.
I can't reveal it quite
yet. Come on!
It's going to be summer 2014. It's very, very soon. The single will be coming out pretty soon here, and then we'll have the album date for you soon. So just stay tuned. Facebook, Twitter, ScottMcIntyre.com, and we'll get it to you.
Scott, when are you in Toronto next? Do you know?
I will be up there at some point this year, probably right after the album comes out, to do some media and hopefully do a concert up there.
Okay, that's cool. Well, make sure you let us know so we can let all the Torontonians know, okay?
Will do. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, man. I'd love to do it again.
Yeah, and yeah, when you come back, you know, you open door here for sure, okay? You're actually way more normal than I thought you were going to be.
That's only the first time. Wait till the second.
Yeah, that's right. Scott McIntyre, the website is ScottMcIntyre.com. If you don't know how to spell it, you don't deserve to go there. Scott, great to chat with you, man.
Thanks so much.
All right,
take care.
Bye-bye. Enjoyed that. Another good guy to have on the show, Mr. Scott McIntyre. Stay with us.
Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA. Except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?